This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this morning. We thank you because in you dwelleth all breath, and by you we prosper. We thank you for the authority that rests in this house, in your handmaid and in your servant. We find grace to navigate their thought this morning in the name of Jesus. I find mercy to represent their spirit in the name of Jesus. We ask this morning that you come to us once again. You bless us. You strengthen us. You cause our hearts to be more single. You find that resolve to be true disciple of yours, that we will not turn back, that rather our hands are laid to the plow. We will arrive as you have designed. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Thank you, everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, welcome once again to this morning's teaching. We trust God to give us help once again. So we've been looking at discipleship, you know, God's process of depth, growth, and fruitfulness. And the topic is becoming a disciple indeed. We are looking at Matthew 16, 24. 1, 2, 3, go. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Can we look at John 8? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Matthew 28, 19 to 21. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. John 15, 8. Can we go? So we've been taking this disciple series because basically God wants us, as those who have confessed the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and because you are not just meant to be one who just got born again. The Lord himself basically has a provision for the journey that you have committed to at born-again experience. And thank God we were taught what it means to be born again and why we need to get other people born again. And you that will get other people born again can't remain where you were when you got born again. A baby cannot take care of a baby, right? You know, a baby needs the input of somebody that is more elderly, someone who has gone at least some steps ahead, who knows, you know, how a baby can also grow. So the intention of this series is actually to ensure that we can come to the estate that God has designed for us. The crucible or the medium God has designed for a believer, you know, to be like him is what? In discipleship. So when we got born again, you know, that wasn't the end. They have to put us into a crucible that will ensure basically that we are discipled in the things of the Lord. Amen. When the harvest come, baby will not be leading baby. So this series actually to one, first and foremost, to grow us. That we that are in-house also, we are actually, we come to being precious fruits. You know, because all the agenda of God on earth is for what? And God expressed that in Genesis. Right from Genesis, you know, the word be fruitful, multiply, have dominion has been the what? The echo, the heaven echoed. If that has been the echo, then everyone must be fruitful. So God wants you and I, you know, to come to maturity. And when we are coming to maturity, we're also able to what? Launch into the harvest and bring other people in. Amen. And we have been taught also, you know, the various type of harvest. And the one that is more prominent is you and I actually what attaining what heaven has for us. So when you are reaching out to the unbeliever, you know, and you are reaching out to the what? To the general church, who basically need to come into the landscape of what economy of God, what God is doing. Amen. You yourself are grounded. That's the concept of this series. Okay? You know, that I personally will grow, and that I will be a tool in the hand of the Lord, okay, to bring order in. Because the truth is that everyone is not going to be a scanty population. Do you think devil can win the Lord? Do you think devil can win God? So why will everyone be scanty? Now, if everyone is not going to be scanty, you are the tool that God will use. And how will God use you? Because when you finally come into stature, you know, the heads will respond to you. So we must take this series serious, and we must do everything possible to do the doing. God is more interested in doing. So this morning, we'll be looking at the cost of discipleship. We'll be looking at the hidden treasure of the kingdom. We'll be looking at the attitude required. We'll be looking at the benefits of being a disciple. And to show the benefits of being a disciple. It takes something to be a disciple. You know, and you know, being a disciple also have what? Also have benefit. You won't just become a disciple because it won't just drop on your lap. Has anything dropped in your life in this world? Does anything drop in anybody's lap in this world? Nothing. Even the air you breathe, you must take it in. So that means that on earth, God has designed, you know, medium and ways to attain certain attributes. The cost of discipleship, Luke 14, 25 to 33. He said, and there went great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father, hate not his mother, hate not his wives and children and brethren, and hate his sister, yeah, and his own what? So how many things did they mention there? Seven. So Jesus said that, and whosoever doth not bear his cross, he cannot be my disciple, and come after me. Hallelujah. Amen. We are looking at what? Cost of discipleship. For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Lest haply after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all behold and begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to what? To finish. Hallelujah. Or for what king going to make war against another? Another king, seated not down first and consulted whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him, or with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way afar off, he sendeth an ambassage and desired condition of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. So this scripture has basically shown us that discipleship has what? Has cost. And the truth is that the Lord is not contravening himself by saying that you must hate your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, you know, your own self. Spiritual things are not interpreted naturally. So he won't say that, thank God, though, that my daddy that doesn't even like me before is in trouble. You know, that my mommy is, you know, that his hand is so strong that I normally deal with me. This is the time to hate her. The Bible says love your enemy, right? So that automatically have negated your natural interpretation, because the Lord will never contravene himself. The truth is that in your journey with the Lord, in being a disciple, in the disciple process, you will come to decisions, junctions of life, that you will not go the way, even with your wife. So when we say hate, what's being hated is not the being that we are called. What's being hated is actually the fact that your discipleship requirement is being contradicted by those environments. And you must make a choice that make you or keeps you as a disciple. You know, that's what it means to hate. Jesus also said something. He said, you know, the Pharisees said that, whatever I hold my father, I give it unto the Lord. He said, no. He said, you must honor your father and what? And your mother, which is the first commandment that has a what? A reward. So you find basically like the cost of discipleship actually find expression at the interjection of life, where you have to what? stick with the Lord's commandments. You have to stick with obedience. And in the presence of obedience, anything that contravenes that, you have to hate it. You know, and also, cost of discipleship, what is actually trying to bring to our mind is this. You are in a building project and you are at war. Every Christian who has confessed the Lord as Savior and who has signed into a discipleship class is a builder. That's why they ask you to build your house upon the rock, right? So that means that discipleship is a what? Is a building process. Now, also, discipleship is a what? Is a war. And who are you fighting? You are not fighting with human. You are fighting with what? The arch enemy of your soul. So that scripture pointed out to you that you must be building and you must be fighting war. In that sense, basically, if you cannot take the course of discipleship, they will mock you. Now, you being mocked is not a product of people sit down there and laugh at you. You being mocked is that you have been attempting a change and you never attained it. You can be mocked. The way Christians are being mocked these days, are we not being mocked? Why do people have ground to mock us? Because they are not seeing the fruit they expected from us. If they see it, their word cannot what? Have no weight. So you are in a building and you are in what? At war. So that must be at the back of your mind that if I don't do discipleship well, I will be mocked. Spirits will mock you. Men will mock you. And also, if I don't do discipleship well, fulfill the cost of discipleship, what will happen to me? My building will not be completed. Building is for what? For him who wants to habit it, which is God. War is for what? Against your enemy. So it's complete. Do you want to be mocked? Do you want to be mocked? I don't want to be mocked. So if I don't want to be mocked, I must align, receive, and do the cost of being a disciple. Now, that foundation should be at the back of your mind. That's because we don't actually see that we are building a house. When you are building a natural house, you know what it feels. Actually, when you are building a natural house, it's like they are draining your life. It takes everything from you. And it's a whole lot of work. And when you also go to war, you know, we live in a generation that we have not seen war. We only read them, CNN, Al Jazeera. You see them in what? You know, on the news front. But a generation that war is a daily thing. You just wake up in the morning, your city is surrounded. And you got to fight. And if you are 20 years and above, they push you to the battleground. So when Jesus was writing this, the community was writing to, they could comprehend what the Lord was saying. That a king has come to besiege my city. Should he be taken or should I fight? If I'm going to fight, do I have what it takes to fight a 10,000 with 1,000? If I don't, I'll rather go and do what? Okay, what do you want? Give me all the silver in your coffee, all your gold in your kingdom. Here you are, sir. The Lord bless you. Just ensure that we are breathing, we are eating, and we are living in our land. But democracy, human rights has protected you. Even under that sphere, some people are still going through war. It depends on the level of power that you have. With all democracy, you can still be invaded. So true discipleship will come into the subjective leading of the Holy Spirit, who crucifies the old man and forms Christ within us. Let's read Ephesians 4:20. But you have not so learned Christ, it so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in what? And true holiness. So, leading of the Spirit must be a paramount tool that a disciple uses in the process of being a disciple. You cannot basically say that you are a disciple and you're paying the price of being a disciple without what? You using that medium. Because God is interested in changing you in the disciples' fulcrum. And the truth is that your change does not even come by the external commandment. Do you know that? don't do this, go here, do this. They are actually meant to prime the real initiator and the real shoe for change. My brethren, don't do this, do that does not change you. It does not only apply to the hair you make, the sack jacket you wear, the shoe you wear. It also applies even to what? To the commandment that the Lord gives you. The true agent of change, when you come to change, is in what? Is that leading that comes to you. And it's in that obedience that you give to it. All of us have experience. Have you not tried it? Even the commandment in the Bible said that what? Don't gossip. I said, I will not gossip. Were you able to keep it? No. But the day Holy Ghost begin to prep you and begin to open your eyes and begin to show you, you understand? That is greater. The first commandment is just to show you that this thing is wrong. So we basically, taking that dealing of the Spirit is a must. So subjective living will help you to hate the word. Will help you to surrender and to follow the master. Because basically, God is interested in our change in a discipleship environment. Let me put it this way. Why you are following a master is because you want to become like him, right? And you want to become like a master, change is a continuous process. Am I right? And if change is going to be a continuous process, the tool that heaven has earmarked for that change, you must follow it. You cannot live for yourself and please Jesus. Living for yourself basically is that the way you feel, what you like to do, the way it's doing you, you must just yield to it. You know the early scripture that we read said that you must hate your own life. Have you asked yourself, how do you hate your life? They are not saying you should not eat good food. The Bible is not saying that you should not wear good clothes. The Bible is not saying that you should not ride a good car. It's not saying you should not live in comfortable houses. It's not saying you should be living under a tree that the weather should be beating you. How you hate life? Life is not external. Life is a consolidation, aggregate of judgment, of understanding, you know, of ways that is inside of you. And that is what heaven wants you to hate. And that is what heaven basically wants you not to live for yourself. When you say myself, 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 yourself is not the entity that is standing outside. Yourself is what? Oh, aggregate of your choices, of the way you want to live, of the way you want to behave. That is your life. And when they come against that life, you actually react. Don't you react? Whenever they stand against your life, you will react. They can stand against you as a human being, just this body we call cadaver, you understand? And you may find a way not to react. But when they come against your life, you will react. Because when they come against it, like they come to besiege that city. And they want to take that city. And you don't want your city to be taken. So you cannot live for yourself and please Jesus. So part of the cost of discipleship is that tell you, I can't live my, myself. Say self-living is not discipleship compliant. If you are living yourself in a discipleship environment, basically you are saying, basically, I am not a disciple. So you must celebrate Jesus whenever situations, circumstances come across you that demand that you should not live for yourself. Self-living includes avoiding the kingdom burdens under the excuse of not being mature. You know, some of us tell ourselves that what? I never grow rich that level. Let me give you an example. They run meeting from Monday to Friday. You said, no, we never grow rich that level. You say, I mean, I can attend 2 meetings. Let the people that are, their teeth is strong, who already break, you know, they are eating meat and breaking bone. Let them be the one to attend what? Monday to Friday. So as a cost of discipleship, like what? You must understand basically that you cannot give excuses of being not mature. Because the way they will mature you is by giving you responsibility. Tell me anybody who comes to church as a young believer, give him to be, you know, join prayer team. When he join prayer team, just start with him that, okay, you'll be the one that what? Start the meeting. Just give us, help us thank the Lord. Help us appreciate the Lord. We are here, you know, just do it. At first day, you feel uncomfortable. You feel that, no, there are bigger people and stronger people that should do this work. But if you stay in that community, you know, you stay in that household, you know, you will not realize until actually You come to a point, you are the one actually taking the what? The bulk of the real prayer point. But if you actually stay at the point of what? I'm new, I don't have strength, I cannot lead prayer. You remain like that. So in our discipleship environment, in our household, when they ask you to be the one to review, to be the one to, lead prayer, to be the one to, read the Bible, don't see it as a burden. Because those mediums are actually meant to what? Mature you. In other words, when they give you that environment, they're actually trying to tell you that what? You can build. That's building. They are helping you to build. So you don't run away from it. That's what? You embrace it. And you commit yourself to the Lord. That, Lord, help me. And the Lord will help you. If your pastor cannot send you on a mission and trust you with a greater responsibility, maturity is still in process. In other words, test of maturity is that when you are giving a tax, we can go to sleep. When you are giving spiritual tax, we can go to sleep. We don't have to check back on you. We don't have to micromanage you. We give you a tax, we'll be telling you how to do it. But when we give you a tax, we should not come back to tell you how to do it. Then we know that what? You have come of age. But whenever we have to tell you, do A, do B, do C, you understand? Let me give you an example. In a meeting, you come for a meeting. It happens sometimes. The team that actually had to start that meeting were not on ground. It was 1 minute, we keep looking, right? 2 minutes, you kept looking, right? 3 minutes, what I just said, I'm not matured. When the mature people come on board, can we still begin to pray in the spirit? That's maturity. So when you come for morning meetings, when the person that will start the meeting is not there, lead the prayers. That one got there, right? We are all guilty, right? So as from today, tomorrow morning, and God is going to set you up. You know how? That brother that ought to start the meeting, no go come early. We will now see who will be struggling for the mic. You know the mic is digital. It's not like the one I'm carrying. Just on mute and what? Talk. Disciple is total surrender. Life, possession, name, right, privileges. Let's read Luke 18, 22 to 23. When Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet likest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor. Thou shalt have treasure, what? In heaven. And come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very what? Sorrowful. For he was what? Very rich. You know, we are all very rich. I'm not talking about Naira in your pocket. I'm not talking about dollar. I'm talking about USD. You know, we are all very rich. Say, I'm rich in goods. And that's why when they come against those goods, you don't want to give it. You will know that they are even stronger than money. So the scripture said that what? You must sell all that you have. And you ask myself, why am I selling? I ought to throw them away. Because what you have is bad. What you have is of the enemy. What you are is of the devil. But the Bible says, sell it. When you sell something, do you make gain?
Yes, sir.
You make gain. So those scriptures were not wrong. The Lord knew what he was saying. He said, sell all that you have. Because they want you to profit. So you don't see profiting in not laying hold to privileges and rights. Because the privileges and rights you have in the outside, in natural, they will pass away. But God wants you to profit. So he says, sell all that you have. So that means that it's a trade. It's a conscious effort. It's a trade in that you are, in that instant, you want to make gain. He didn't say, go and put it at the dustbin. He didn't say, throw it away. He said, sell it. So you sell all that you have. Then you what? You give to the poor. When you give to the poor, what do you do again? Distribute unto the poor. He said, thou shalt not have treasure. What happens? That means that there's a shift in your heart. You know, where a man's treasure is, there what? His heart will be. So by selling, they are saying that what? They are giving a new heart that will be able to obey the Lord. Then come and what? Follow me. He said, when he heard this, he can't. Why? Nobody likes to what? Trade what he has. For discipleship, household environment, we do what to you? You must sell what you have.
Don't put it in the dustbin. You should do what? Sir. The more Christ-like we become, the more we see everything as stewardship. In truth, we are unprofitable what? Servant. So you must also know basically that you must sell all the... Let's read that scripture also, please. You know, I begin to talk about being profitable. The beginning of you being profitable is the fact that you can sell what you have. Amen. Amen. And selling what you have, they are further showing us. He said, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat. And will not rather say unto him, make ready, wherewith I may sup, and guide thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Who does this? Amen. We were discussing somewhere yesterday, and we realized that basically that the whole life journey is a life of stewardship. And when you're a steward, you are meant to profit. Remember those parables that were given in the scripture concerning steward? The one that they gave, take for example, they gave talents to 5, 2, and 1. And the one that is low here, that basically that he has been mismanaging his good badly. And they say, give account of your what? Of your stewardship. So we must basically understand that everything here is what? Is in light of stewardship. What's stewardship? I'm a custodian of that which is not mine, which I must profit with. In other words, I must be fruitful with what is given to me. In truth, we're unprofitable servants. You know, now, when you say you're unprofitable servants, what you are actually a steward of, and the gain of it, though in a light they are yours, but they are still not yours. So your time, you're in stewardship of it. You living in that house world is a stewardship relationship. You know, we don't see it that way. So we must guard yourself. We must serve the master. The master must sup and he must eat and drink. That is actually for you and I. When you don't guard yourself and serve the master or steward the master cannot sup. I know the Lord wants to sup with you. You know the Lord wants to sup with you. When the Lord sup with you, what happens to you? You're in fellowship. You're in communion. And what happens to your sin? It's washed away. The fell of our continual pressing towards the upward call. You know, and when God calls for surrender, what he gives is superior to what releases. Who likes to surrender his life? Who likes to surrender in an argument? Who likes to surrender in a dispute? Who likes to put his own opinion behind? Let's read Luke 14:26. So if you are thinking about upward call, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sister, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Let us read 2 Corinthians 4:1-15. Therefore, since we have this ministry, we faint not, that we have received mercy, we faint not. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, walking not in craftiness, not only the word of God with deceitfulness, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? That are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which what? Believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ, Jesus Christ, the Lord and our Savior, servant for Jesus' sake. You know, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our heart to give unto the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we are this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but what? Not destroyed. He said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be what? Made manifest in our body. You know, for we which live are always what? Delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be what? Made manifest in what? In our mortal body. So then death worketh us in us, but life what? In you. We having the same spirit of faith, according to his writing, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak, knowing that we which raised the Lord Jesus shall also raise us up by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to glory of God. So when God calls you for surrender, what he gives you is superior to what you release. Because in your surrender, there's pain. In your surrender, there's pushing down. In your surrender, there's restraint. There's a lot. But the thing that we have not learned, you know, on this side of the divide is that pressure is good. That thing must sink with us. That giving is good. Letting go is good. That being behind another person is a blessing. You know, you always look as if you are foolish. But the truth is that what it works in you, Paul said that what? It works in you resurrection power. That's why it works in you. What's resurrection? Before resurrection must be death, right? Before resurrection, you must die. So if you are not surrendering, surrendering is what? Dying. Every time you surrender, you are what? You are dying. And if you are dying in the Lord, you are promised what? Resurrection. So being a disciple, surrendering in all ramifications of the cost, you know, does not mean that you are miserable. Doesn't mean you are miserable. But God, we think you are miserable. But you are not miserable. Because you are not seeing the wisdom. When the Bible said that what? How unsearchable are his way. Because truly his ways are unsearchable. Because when you look at it naturally, it does not fit in. But when you see it in reality, it's working out for you what? A far weight of glory. That basically you cannot measure. But the day God opens your eyes and you can see it, you'll be thankful for surrendering. When they are looking for you to surrender, you'll be running. I knew when the Lord said that you should do a somersault. You should rejoice. You understand? That word is not just a fluke. It's a gateway to blessing. Hidden treasure of the kingdom. Matthew 13:44-46. What is a treasure? Just think about it. What's a treasure? Because when we don't understand things, we don't really find strength to run with it. Ask yourself, what's my treasure? Oh yeah, think about it. Your certificate? Your job? Your wife? Your husband? Jesus listed, even said, he said, your own life. Then what is treasure? So until I'm able to find treasure, amen. You know, so that means that until we define treasure, you understand, there's still going to be what? A lacuna. Okay, let's read that scripture. That's Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man had found it, he hide it for joy. Therefore, go out and sell it all that he has. We've talked about selling all that you have, right? So, what will make you to sell all that you have is what? You know, in that scripture, they also measure treasure. In that scripture already, they measure treasure there. He will have treasure, right? Now, that treasure he has, that his heart has shifted to a new what? A new value system. He's looking at a new thing. They redefine his paradigm. In other words, the work of the devil, sin that you are keeping, when you see that what, there's a higher treasure, you're willing to let it go. Because discipleship is to change your person. It's to make you to be like your master. They are inward working in your soul to align you to your Lord. So the secret of the kingdom is to sell all that you have and buy that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearl, who when he had found one pearl, a great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, the basic point is that what will make a man see a treasure and sell all that he has? Let's say I bought a field in Igbomu Oleru. You know what's Igbomu Oleru? That's a bad place to buy a treasure, right? Because it's the forest where they make you a slave. And that's what the Lord wants to do to you. So I saw a treasure in Igbomu Oleru. And I came back and I told my wife, please forgive your husband. This house, gone. Cars, gone. Investment, gone. Even if I pack clothes, the one they wear, make it just they wear and well. Clothes, gone. And I took all that money. And I told my wife, I'm going to Igbomu Oleru to go and buy a land. Now, what will make a man go that drastic is because of what he has seen is more than all that he's selling. Once what you have seen is not higher than what you have, you cannot sell. Hallelujah. Your brother needs help. He needs money. Okay? And you have the money. And it's hard for you to give it. It's because you have not seen a treasure. Seriously. When you see treasure, Treasure communicate to you glory. Say glory. Glory. Treasure communicate to you glory. So mind you, let's say that the whole one acre of land I'm buying, they are full of gold. So all that I sold, I can get back them in one day. So let's read our text. The secret of the kingdom and the mystery of Christ and God are hidden by nature. Hidden things are costly and priceless. Some secrets can't be committed unless you are a disciple. You know, Jesus told the disciples that to you is given. So it is given to a disciple. It is given to a disciple to what? To see the treasure. That's what it means. He said to them, they might be groping in darkness. But you, it is given that you must be able to see treasure in Igbomuwaleru. And you must be able to take it. So it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It's given to you as a disciple to see the treasure. But if you are not seeing it, then you must cry to the Lord. You must beseech heaven. Amen. Because if you don't, you only give what you have for what is higher. Let me give you an example. You have 1 million naira. You give it to Sister Rolake. Please, oh, at the end of 1 year, may this 1 million naira become what? 1.5 million. Do you love our business? No. Do you love our company? No. What do you love? Interest. So what is interest? Treasure. That's what you love. But because that same 1 million naira you can use for any other things. But you can deny yourself, sacrifice so many things, just to earn what? 500,000. So, but this treasure can be assessed by what? Sacrificial arts, willing to lay down life to obtain life. You can assess hidden treasure. Say hidden treasure. Say hidden treasure. Say invisible treasure. Say God kind of treasure. Say treasure that you cannot see. But you can hold it. You can walk with it. You can play with it. You can trade with it. But you can't see it. Because you are hidden. Amen. Let's read Colossians 2:2. Say that their heart might be knitted, that might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mysteries of God and of the Father and of Christ. So if you have found treasure, you must have found one of these. So if you say you have any treasure that's higher than this, you cannot sell all that you have. You keep keeping what you have. Everybody loves to keep what he has. Without diligence and sacrifice, certain dimension of God remain inaccessible. You can't access God without sacrifice and diligence. Go check the scripture. Nobody gets into God's vineyard, into God's use without diligence. If you can apply just 10% of your diligence to your work, to discipleship process, I can assure you, you can't be the same person. If your boss said that by 6 a.m., I want that report. If you tell by 11:30 p.m., you have left work, they just call you on the road. Your work has finished according to contract. According to contract, work ends at what? 5 p.m. They are not going to pay you overtime. They are not going to add your salary. But you will still deliver that job. So why can't you do the same thing in the disciple environment? So diligence, sacrifice, you know, is a must that we must basically what embrace. Let's look at the attitude required. What was attitude? Posture. Right? What's another one for attitude? Your disposition. Kingdom seekers are forceful. Say forceful. What's forceful? What's force? Mass. So wait with movement. So when weight come upon you, do you want to move? When weight, the demand of disciples should come upon you, do you want to move? But the Lord said what? You should accelerate. He didn't say walk. Have you ever seen people chat to war? You watch all those movies now, right? Did they walk to war? They told us earlier on that you being a disciple, you're actually at war. So we have said that force is what? Weight plus acceleration. It's not easy, right? Your master will not change the model for you. Because that's the only way they get the work done. So the attitude required is that kingdom seeker must be forceful, must be passionate, must be diligent, must be consistent, must be fervent in pursuit. Matthew 11:12. Because what are you seeking? You are seeking to be the precious fruit of the earth. You want to change your estate. You want to come to God. You want to quit being like men, you know. And heaven knows that the only way they can get it done is what? Forcefully. Say forcefully. So tell your neighbor, all the force you've been using to scatter houses, to scatter your brother, to scatter relationship, to scatter fellowship, God wants you to use that force to enter the kingdom. So that means that the reason why force was created upon the earth is for what? Advancement. From the day of John the Baptist until now. They didn't say yesterday. The kingdom of heaven what? And the violence what? So that means that what you are facing is violent. Raging of the sea, spirit, nature, attitude, you know, posture. You know, when they come upon you, you yourself know that you don't have a hold against them. Me, I've been there. It's a reality. When they come, they are what? They are force. They are violent. They want to express themselves. Then the Lord said, you too, you must be what? Forceful. God reward diligence. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made what? So do you want to be fat?
Yes, sir.
You want marrow?
Yes,
you want wine?
Yeah.
You have to be diligent. Amen. The sluggard will not plow
by the reason of the cold.
Therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have what? Nothing. Jesus also mentioned this scripture. He said, pray that your what? Your flight is not in winter. Not on a Sabbath day. So, by the reason of cold, by the reason of winter, in other words, there are situations that are around you that will make you don't be forceful. Don't make progress. Don't do discipleship well. But in answer to that, you must go against them. So, tell your neighbor, say, cold is good. Say, cold is an opportunity. So this Lord said, "I was it's cold today. I lie on my bed. How many of you say that it's raining today? I'm not going to work. My employer will understand. The rain in Lagos is so heavy that buses are not moving. And you're going to Lekki third roundabout. It is well with your soul. God reward diligence. There can be food in the house. Yes, one remain lean. No, due to laziness. Say laziness.
Laziness.
The man and the merchant both sold all to obtain the treasure. You know, so you sell, you give, you know, then you come into a new estate. As disciples in the making, we must continually lay down our lives. Say attitude that is required. I must say sell all to obtain treasure. Say laying down my life. Always. Say being diligent and not lazy. Say being forceful is a requirement. You cannot escape it. Psalm 112, verse 9. Then we'll look at, you know, just take the last benefit of disciple. Say he has dispersed. He has given to the poor. So what will they give you? And his own shall be what? Exalted what? So when you sell all that you have and you give to the poor, this is the estate you come to. He has dispersed. He has given to the poor. His righteousness will show. And what? Endure. And his own shall be exalted. So God wants to exalt your own when you are what? Selling all that you have. The benefit of a disciple. Let's look at the benefit. A true disciple receives multiplied blessing for every sacrifice made for Christ. There is no man that has left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, and land for my sake. And the gospel. But he shall receive an 100-fold now in this time with persecution and in the world to come, eternal life. So what's 100-fold? How did he sign 100-fold? 100-fold is not that I invested 1 million, I got. 100-fold is that you arrive at the dimension, the fullness of the dimension that God wants you to come to. The way we mark our exam and they do what? Say 30, say 60, say 100. Say everlasting life. So benefit of being a disciple, say what? I will come into 100-folds. 100-folds of what? Of everlasting life. of eternal life. I also come into what? Everlasting life. He said the ultimate reward of discipleship is eternal life with Christ. And everyone that are forsaking us, brethren, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall also inherit everlasting life. That's Matthew 19:29. True freedom. When you go through discipleship process, you'll be free indeed. You know, I said earlier on, you can be throwing commandments at you. You can be what? Trying to keep the commandment. But it doesn't mean that you are free. Let me give you an example. In a household or in a discipleship class or community, you can be given a commandment and you do it and you don't have any food. The example I gave earlier on, come and lead prayer. You can lead that prayer and nothing will be accounted to you for righteousness. Nothing. What will do it? Say attitude.
Attitude.
Say posture.
Posture.
Say treasure.
Treasure.
Is the converting formula.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So true freedom. Disciple walks in the liberty that comes from abiding in Christ. You know, in Christ's word. If you continue in my word, say continue in my word.
Continue.
How do you continue in my word? Continue in my word now that I'm listening to the word. Continue in the word that you are doing the word and you are staying with it. Then are you my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, the truth is the reality, really, really, really. You know, when they give you commandments, you start learning from the outside. Am I right? The day you know truth, freedom comes to you. If they tell you wake up every 5:30 and sweep the house, you will grumble. You will murmur. You will think that is evil. But the day truth comes to your heart, you do it with all pleasure. So in the process of being a benefit that comes to you, that you find true freedom. True freedom is that I'm free. I'm not just free because I'm constrained. I'm not just free because I'm doing eye service. I'm not just free because basically they say I should not do it. I am actually free because I know I am free. Divine fruitfulness. It is that will bear lasting fruit for God's kingdom. Let's read John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much, replace that much fruit with say hundredfold fruit. So shall you be what? My disciples say. Disciples. So if you're a true disciple, the benefit that comes to you is that what? You are actually having, being fruitful. And being fruitful is means that basically that you are yielding. You are increasing. You are multiplying. You are gaining more ground against the enemy. Your fortress is becoming stronger. When the enemy comes to besiege you, you can knock him down. Hallelujah. When you say you are fruitful, is that when the enemy besiege you, you can knock him down. You are not crying, they besiege me. The walls, the bulwarks are mounting. You are not what? You are not threatened. Why? Because you are fruitful. Say intimacy with Christ. Disciples are called friends of the master. How many of you want to come to the place that Jesus can call you my friend? He said, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. You know, we said earlier on that discipleship is actually doing. So Jesus said, he didn't say, if you hear what I command you. He didn't say, if you try to practice what I command you. And doing is when it becomes your nature. So the Lord, the master whom you have choose to follow. A master, you follow a master. Am I right? Your master goes in front of you, you follow him. You put your step where he puts his steps. Talk the way he's talking. You flex your muscle the way he's flexing his muscle. You know, you roar the way he's roaring. No, Jesus roar. When I'm saying that you are fruitful and you are free indeed, you come a place, benefit of discipleship is that when the enemy come against you, you roar. You will not turn from any. You must benefit from this discipleship wineskin that the church, our Father in the house, has put in place. The end of it, or what the benefit you must receive from me basically is that you must attain these benefits. I want to be free. I want to be fruitful. I want to have intimacy with the Lord. I want to be called God's friend. Say, see the friend of God going. Say, the friend of the Lord is coming to visit me today. You know, I'm a friend to the friend of the Lord. So the truth is that we must own this process. Don't go through it without a right attitude, a right posture. The man that was, you know, going to war and building. And what did the scripture together? And you read loudly, you read boldly, you read with the attitude that basically you are going to be fruitful, You read with it, we become the friend of your master. Hallelujah. To build a tower, sit now down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Lest haply, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to what? Mock him. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to the make war against another king? Sitting not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him, that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth what? An ambassage. And desire condition of what? Peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be what? My disciples. Can we talk to the Lord this morning? Talk to Jesus. Simano, kopra sefate bada.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeo Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.